Pastor Emery, there are three radio broadcasts reproduced on this tape. The first one will include the announcer's introduction at the beginning and his close at the end, just as you would hear it on the radio. Then, to save your time, the announcer will be left off the last two. During the broadcast, you will hear me offer free monthly literature. I will state the month. Please do not write for that literature packet as such. You may be hearing these tapes months, even years, after the original broadcast was made. If you are interested in the literature, please write and ask for it by title, or write and ask for our current literature list. Thank you. This is Pastor Emery. The so-called do-gooders often excuse unnatural or criminal behavior of people by saying the person was suffering from an identity crisis, that he didn't understand who he was or what was expected of him by his family or society. I believe America is suffering from an identity crisis. We don't know who we are or what is expected of us in the nation and in the world. We don't know where we came from, nor where we are going. However, the last thing we need is psychiatrists or other voodoo doctors. America needs a Bible, the Holy Word of God. For in that Bible is the identity of our people and of our nation. It tells us from whence we came and where we are bound. In Isaiah 50, when God gave a prophecy of Israel's future, he first had the prophet say to Israel, "Look unto the rock when ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit when ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you." In plain words, Israel, look to your origin, to your roots. Find out from whence you came. In the same manner, America needs to know her roots before she can know her destiny. Today I will be showing America's roots in that Abraham of the Bible and in the Israel people. Stay tuned.
It's time for America's Promise with Helen Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Dr. Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. Today, I am going to go through a number of scripture passages containing promises to the children of Israel, prophecies of events to take place to or among them in the latter part of this age, and these are things which should either already be fulfilled or in the process of fulfillment. While you are getting your Bible to follow with me in it, I will offer our free literature for the month of August. We have two booklets for you this month. The first one has a rather long title. The Bible says, "Russia will invade America and be destroyed." This was originally a radio series some years ago. We put it in print with other material bearing on that subject, and it is now available for you to read and compare to your Bible. In addition to my radio broadcast in this booklet, I've reprinted George Washington's vision, which he had at Valley Forge in the winter of 1777, part of a speech by a Commodore Perry of the United States Navy 120 years ago, in which he said eventually Russia and America would meet in a mighty conflict, and another excerpt from a sermon preached before a joint session of both houses of the U.S. Congress in 1857, over 100 years ago. In that sermon, the minister developed the theme from the Holy Scriptures that the last great battle to be fought upon the earth would be here on this North American continent, as America was invaded by a great host from the lands of Russia, Asia, and Africa. You can have this booklet by writing to me, Pastor Emery, at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. And I'll also send you a second booklet, by a Pastor McGaw. Suppose we are Israel. What difference does it make? There are a great number of professing Christians who literally refuse to dig into the Word of God to gain an understanding of just what it is God intends to do with the earth and its people. They are told and seem to believe that it is not important to know anything but the bare essentials for salvation. Just proclaim you believe in Jesus, and presto chango, you are a Christian. And anything beyond that is useless and unnecessary. There is an interesting passage in John 15 where Jesus Christ said to his disciples, this is John 15 starting in verse 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." God called Abraham his friend. Jesus Christ called his disciples his friends because they knew what he was doing. You can be a servant of Christ with little understanding of Christ's work and plan for the people of the earth, but wouldn't it be better to know what God is doing? It seems from this passage that Jesus would call you more than a servant. He would call you a friend. And the revelation of what God is doing is in his word. That is why Pastor McGaw wrote this tract, "Suppose We Are Israel, What Difference Does It Make?" He wrote it for all of the thousands, yes, tens of thousands of Christian people who have admitted that it is probably true that we are Israel and that America is the great nation of Bible prophecy. But then they add, "Well, suppose not. What difference does it make?" This question seems to imply that it makes none. But my friend, it makes a great deal of difference. In fact, if you do not know who Israel is, what God is doing with them, then you cannot know what your Lord doeth. And Jesus said, those disciples who knew what he was doing were more than servants. They were his friends. Both of these booklets will be sent to you free and postpaid if you will write and ask for the August packet of literature. That is all you have to say. Please send me the August packet and address your letter to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis, and we'll begin reading Bible promises and prophecies directed to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and consider some of their possible or probable fulfillment. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, call of Abraham, is familiar to millions of radio listeners. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Obviously, this could not be fulfilled during Abraham's lifetime, but was meant to be about his posterity. "Thou shalt be a blessing, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." If this was to have a latter-day fulfillment, we can ask, what race or what peoples have been blessed of God above all others and have been a blessing to all nations? In and among what people has God poured out his wisdom, his revelations of inventions and discoveries, which have benefited all mankind? What people have preserved, copied, and carried the enlightening gospel of Jesus Christ to the end of the earth? Here is a letter to the editor, published in a local Phoenix newspaper. Quote, "Soon we will be celebrating the 200th birthday of the United States of America. Many things are being said and will be said about what made this great nation. There are some who will even say that it is no longer a great nation. I have an opinion of my own. I avoid the term great nation. I like the word best instead of great, and I like the word people instead of nation. It gives me a warm feeling to be able to say without contradiction, Americans are the best people in the entire world, and in only 200 years have done more good for the entire world than any other people, past or present. End of quote from that letter. Now, some might accuse that writer of boasting, but if you will but give it a moment's thought, it is a simple statement of fact. If you have one of the annual almanacs, just for fun, look up the alphabetical listing of important inventions and read the nations which issued the patent. Here is a tiny portion of that list. United States, United States, England, U.S., 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 France, England, U.S., U.S., Germany, U.S., 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 England, U.S., Germany, U.S., Norway, and on and on. Someone has estimated that 95% of our technical, mechanical, and agricultural inventions or improvements which have come in the last centuries have come in America, England, and Germany. Why? Because we are some so-called Gentile nations with a lot of brains? I don't think that is the answer at all. Is it because we are all Christians? Well, we're not. So that cannot be the answer either. Is it possible? These nations are Israel nations. While you think on that, let us go on in the Bible. Genesis 13, verse 16. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. This same specific promise of multiplied descendants is repeated several times in Genesis and in other books, always with the same theme. It cannot be numbered. Could this be fulfilled in the people who call themselves Jews? Actually, the Jews are the most accurately numbered or counted of all the people of the earth. The rabbis keep their own records, and very accurate ones, so that they can tell the number of Jews in every country, even in every city or town in the world. This promise to Abraham must either be fulfilled in some other people, or it has not been fulfilled at all. Genesis 17, starting in verse 1. And when Abram was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Here is that promise of multiplication. Verse 3, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Or the margin says, a multitude of nations, not just one nation, as from each. Verse 5, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. The people who were to come from Abraham were to be fruitful. In any context, material production, great numbers of people, or spiritual fruits, the people known as Jews today fail to qualify. Genesis 22, verses 17 and 18 are a repetition of previous promises, great numbers of descendants, and to be a blessing to all of the earth. These specific promises are repeated to Isaac and Jacob, but are hardly read or investigated by the professing church today. In Genesis 25, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob so that Jacob would be the inheritor of the promises to Abraham. And in chapter 27, Jacob tricked Isaac into giving him the blessing instead of Esau, part of which is in verse 28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. This must be a promise of a great abundance of agricultural harvest to the descendants of Jacob. This is given in more detail by Jacob after his name was changed to Israel in Genesis 49, as he prophesied upon each of his 12 sons. To Joseph, he said, among other things, in verse 25 and 26, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors under the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. This, and a prophecy given by Moses later, seems to speak of a separate and larger development of the descendants of Joseph. His people were to have the blessings of the deep that lie under. The phrase, under the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills, seems to say that it would be in some other place far removed from Egypt and Palestine, where Joseph and his brothers lived out their lives. Many centuries later, when the descendants of the 12 sons of Israel were brought out of the bondage of the land of Egypt, God chose those people to be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Exodus 19 and verse 5. In that same chapter, by the way, God says of his bringing Israel out of Egypt, verse 4, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. If you have a dollar bill in your pocket, the great seal of the United States is on the reverse side, and you'll see that the eagle is the central figure on our official seal. The eagle is also used many other ways among our people. The figure of an eagle being used to top flagpoles on many emblems, seals, and flags of our armed forces and other branches of the U.S. government. During the last 200 years, somewhere in hundreds of thousands of American homes has been a statue or a plaque of eagle in some position of rest or trust, often bearing in his beak a streamer with the words E Pluribus Unum. Thousands of U.S. firms and places of business have used the eagle in their signs, in advertising, and so on, to the extent that the eagle alone has come to mean the United States of America. Isn't that strange for such a so-called Gentile nation? Let's go on with these rather specific promises and prophecies made to and about the Israel people of the Bible. So far, we've only read a few in Genesis, and I have time for only a few more. So turn to Deuteronomy 33, which is similar to Genesis 49, except here it is Moses speaking, whereas in Genesis 49 it was Jacob. Verse 4, we see that God's law is an inheritance of the congregation of Jacob, which would mean that the Israel people would have God's law. In verse 10, Moses says the men of Levi, or the teachers and preachers, shall teach Jacob thy judgment and Israel thy law. So God's word would be taught among the Israel tribes. Then Moses, like Jacob, speaks at greater length of Joseph, again implying that although all of Israel would be blessed of God, the descendants of Joseph would be blessed above the others. Verse 13, Deuteronomy 33. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that causeth beneath. Similar phrase used by Jacob was, blessings of the deep that lie asunder. Verse 14, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things brought forth by the moon. This again would be agricultural bounty, for both the sun and the moon are instrumental in bringing forth the seed and the harvest from the plants of the earth. Verse 13 and 14 together seem to say that the land occupied by the descendants of Joseph would be especially blessed in this manner. Verse 15, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills. This could only mean great mineral wealth, petroleum, and coal, and so on. These do exist all over the earth, but the nations of Christendom seem to have fared better than others in both supply and use. History books use the term the age of stone, the age of wood, the age of iron, and so on. Except for the inventions and devices of the white race, which have been dispersed to all nations, most of the earth people are still in the Stone Age or the Age of Wood. American tourists traveling in India and South Asia today are always amazed to see multiple-story buildings being erected of wood and stone, with the scaffolding, sometimes many stories high, constructed of bamboo and wooden poles. 90% of the non-white peoples of the continents of Africa and Asia have never ridden an automobile, to say nothing of owning one. The metals, oil, coal, and other products of the ancient mountains have blessed only a few nations of the earth. Could those nations and those people be descendants of Joseph or others of the 12 sons of Israel? Verse 16, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Joseph's people were to have the special goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, referring to God Almighty, of course, speaking to Moses out of the burning bush. Who can deny that the United States of America has received blessings at the hands of God, far surpassing any other people of the earth? And who can find a single passage of Scripture where some non-Israel people were prophesied to be blessed of God above the seed of Jacob Israel? There are many more references in the books of Moses which indicate a great and wonderful national development among the nations of Israel in the latter days. And I use that term nations in the plural, for we have seen that Abraham was to be the father of many nations. The descendants were to be so numerous and so scattered that none could count them. And the bounty of the earth, of crops, of the land, and of the things under the earth were to be bestowed upon them in great abundance. In the chapter just before this, in Deuteronomy 32, we have a passage by Moses which seems to plainly state that God had actually restricted the other races from the earth in such a way to leave space for the Israel nations. Deuteronomy 32, verses 7 and 8. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. And here's what they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Since God had promised Abraham that he would greatly increase his posterity, it would be logical that God would preserve space on the earth for such an increase. Earth scientists and biologists have speculated and theorized for centuries about the strange fact that the Negroids seem originally to have been limited to the continent of Africa, the Mongolian to Asia, the Polynesian to the isles of the Pacific, the several species of tribes of Indians to North and South America, and the white race to have originated in the Fertile Crescent of the Tigris and Euphrates, and then to have overspread a previously uninhabited Europe. This was followed 400 years ago when the white race extended to North America, a whole continent almost devoid of peoples after the supposed millions of years of the Earth's existence. Experts on the Indians of North America estimate their numbers at as few as 500,000 and a maximum of about 900,000 at the time of Columbus. The city of Phoenix has over 700,000 people living in an area 15 miles long and 25 miles wide. Can you imagine that as the entire population of the whole continent of North America less than 500 years ago? Why so few? Did Moses give us the answer that has eluded the scientists and historians? That God set the bounds of the people, restricted them according to the number of the children of Israel. In other words, God limited the numbers and locations of the races other than Israel to save great land spaces on the earth in which to fulfill his promises to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Perhaps if we were familiar with God's word and with the history of the earth, we would, like the disciples, know what our Lord doeth. And we would be able to answer the skeptics, the agnostics, and the atheists who ridicule the Bible and deny God's existence. The whole people of the earth itself, and the history of the earth provide abundant proof that God's pre-written plan for the earth and its people is coming to pass as he wrote it. But evidence so plain, none but the fool can say in his heart, there is no God. And on that I shall have to close, since I was able to cover so few passages on this subject of the promise to Abraham's seed this week. I think I shall continue next week, God willing. Meanwhile, do write for the free August packet. My booklet, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America. This book traces America's roots in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, proving we are the great Israel nation of the last days. And therefore, America, not tiny Jewish-occupied Palestine, is the nation referred to in Ezekiel 38 and 39, which will be invaded by the people under Russia and China. In spite of what seems to be bad news, the book shows how the Bible prophesies that America will be saved by the direct intervention of God Almighty. You will also receive Pastor McGaw's tract, Suppose We Are Israel, What Difference Does It Make? As Pastor McGaw shows, it makes a great deal of difference. If you had suffered amnesia and didn't know who you were, you would be glad to find out. Just as America is suffering from an identity crisis or from national amnesia, and will be greatly blessed in finding out she is God's chosen nation. I'll also send a list of other books and tracts and a catalog of over 200 cassette tapes of sermons and radio broadcasts and information on how you can receive tape copies of these radio broadcasts sent direct to your home each week. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The announcer will repeat that in just a moment. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at the same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.
This is Pastor Emery. God Almighty told Abraham in the book of Genesis that his descendants would be multiplied to become a great number of people. They would be blessed by God, and, quote, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In last week's broadcast, I asked the question, if this was to have a latter-day fulfillment, what race or what people have been blessed of God above all others and have been a blessing to all nations? In and among what peoples has God poured out his wisdom, his revelations, his inventions and discoveries, which have benefited all mankind? The question continued, what people have preserved, copied, carried, and preached the enlightening gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth? Last week and continuing today, I will show that only one race, the white race of Europe, has done those things which were to be done by the seed or the descendants of the Abraham of the Bible. Stay tuned. Thank you. In Genesis 12, God said to Abram in verse 2 and 3, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. There are two realms in which individuals and nations can be blessed, and that means literally affected for their good. Obviously, for a nation to suffer poverty and disease, to be scourged by famine, or to live in the darkness of heathen religions and philosophy is not to be blessed. The two realms in which a nation can be blessed, and they do overlap, are in the material or physical and in the spiritual. It must be admitted that the vast majority of the earth's people are today, and have always been in the past, sadly lacking in both of these realms. Most of the world's people believe or at least are controlled by those who believe in false religion. And most of the world's people are also paupers in the material sense. However, one race of people upon the earth does have in its possession the key to the true religion, and it has an abundance of both the material wealth of the world and the capability of producing more for itself and for other nations. That race is, quite obviously, the white European race. Not only do we have in our possession the true religion and practice it to some extent, tens of thousands of our race have carried the rudiments of that religion to untold millions of other races in all corners of the globe. Wherever it has been accepted to any extent, it has been a blessing to those people. Along with that, food, clothing, inventions, technology, and machinery have been poured out in abundance from our white nations to the other races of the earth. You may argue that some, or even most, of this has been done with selfish motives. That does not change the fact that it is only this one race, the white European race, that has been, in both the spiritual and material realm, a blessing to all the families of the earth. You can search the pages of history in every library in the world, and you will find no record of the people of any other race making any effort to help those of a race other than their own. It is only the white race which has given its religion, its talents, its money, and its wealth to every race on the globe. God said that Abraham's descendants would be blessed by God and would be a blessing to all the families of the earth. In just a moment, I will continue to read more of the promises and covenants that God Almighty made with and to Abraham and with and to Abraham's descendants. Meanwhile, get a pencil and paper, and I will offer, for the last time, a free radio packet for August. I know it is already September, but these are two very important books which will give you proof of what Pastor Emery preaches, that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred peoples of Europe are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and are the true Israelites in the world today. My address first, which I'll repeat after I list the books. Write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. One book is titled, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America. Most Bible students know that the 38th and 39th chapters of Ezekiel prophesy that Mongolian Russia, called in those chapters Gog and Magog, will invade the lands of Israel. Most ministers interpret that to mean that Russia will invade Jewish-occupied Palestine because they have been taught that Jews are Israelites and therefore assume Palestine must be the land of Israel. However, since neither the land of Palestine nor the Jewish people have any of the biblical marks of end-time Israel, that teaching makes no Bible sense. Instead, the land described in Ezekiel 38 and 39 as Israel does fit Europe and this North American continent. My book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America, traces the dispersion of ancient Israel out of Palestine, identifies them as they moved onto the continent of Europe between 1000 and 500 B.C., long before the time of Christ, and proves they were the progenitors of the white Caucasian race of Europe. Every high school student knows that those people later occupied our North American continent. Then, since we are Israelites, and since it is true Israel which will be attacked by this Gog and Magog, it follows that Ezekiel 38 and 39, rather than being a prophecy of an invasion of Palestine, is a prophecy of an invasion of the nations of Israel in Europe, Southern Africa, Australia, and North America. A quick look at the present world will prove to you it is exactly those nations of the white race which the red communists are planning to destroy. Although the ministers say the Russians are moving to invade Palestine, since 1970, the Russians have built the largest military complex in the world, not in southern Russia, where it would be close to Palestine, but in the very north, just east of Sweden and Finland, with Murmansk as its port. Since 1970, they have built 70 airfields and intercontinental missile bases, all preparing for an air invasion, not of Palestine, but over the North Pole, to the United States and Canada. And the story of those bases is told in my book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America. You will receive a free copy when you write for my August packet. I'll also send a pamphlet titled, Suppose We Are Israel, What Difference Does It Make? That is a question often asked by Christians when they are first presented with the overwhelming evidence that we are indeed Israelites. Thinking somehow to escape the great responsibilities which evolve on us as racial Israelites, they attempt to escape their duty by trying to pass it all off by saying, well, so what? What difference does it make anyway? The important thing is that I am a Christian, and if I am a Christian, then it doesn't make any difference whether I am an Israelite or not. Well, a Pastor McGaw some years ago, after having been confronted with that supposedly unanswerable question many times, sat down and wrote a pamphlet answering it. Every Christian who has been presented with the truth of our Israelite identity should read it. Pastor McGaw gives a number of things which make a difference, and I don't have time to list all of them. However, I will suggest one which makes a great deal of difference. If we are Israelites, then there is no Bible foundation for the doctrine that we are going to be snatched off the earth before some great tribulation. The Bible makes it plain that Israel will go through the great tribulation, part of which will be an end-time invasion of the homelands of Israel by a great Asian confederation under Russia and China. You may think or hope you are prepared for your space flight to heaven, but as Israelites, you are not going there. Instead, you are going to be engaged in warfare right here on the earth, a warfare for which most of you are woefully unprepared, and that is a great difference. Whatever else you do today, you write me for these booklets. They are free for the asking. You cannot buy them in any Christian bookstore in America. My address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. You'll also receive a complete list of our other books and pamphlets and a catalog of Bible studies on cassette tapes. My address will be repeated at the end of this broadcast. All right, back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and God's covenant promises to our fathers in Israel. Turn to Deuteronomy 32, verses 7 and 8, which will explain why the Israel people migrated to and occupied vast areas of the earth which for some previously unexplained reason were practically vacant until our race arrived. Moses is speaking to Israel, verse 7, Deuteronomy 32. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. And here is what Moses said the elders would tell Israel. Verse 8, Deuteronomy 32. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. End of quote. Paraphrased, Moses is saying that God set bounds or boundaries for the races other than the Israel race, in order to leave large areas unpopulated for the later expansion of Israel. Remember that even as God promised Abraham the land of Canaan for his descendants, which promise was fulfilled when God brought Israel out of Egypt and put them in Canaan land, or ancient Palestine, he kept repeating to Abraham, then to Isaac, then to Jacob, and then to Israel, that he would multiply them as the sand of the seashore and as the stars of heaven. He even told Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 5, "Look now toward heaven and tell," or number, "and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." In effect, God said Abraham's seed would eventually be so numerous they would not be able to be numbered or counted. For anyone who believes God as Abraham did, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, that would certainly mean there would eventually be more Israelites than could be contained in the tiny land we know as Canaan land or Palestine. Today, even with modern technology, the Jews who have occupied ancient Canaan land can support only about 3.5 million people. That is only a few more than the number of Israelites who were listening to Moses when he made that statement in Deuteronomy 32 over 3,000 years ago. And to support even that many today, the Jewish state needs between $2 billion and $5 billion in aid every year from America. Otherwise, their economy would collapse, and a million or more would have to leave Palestine to keep from starving. It is nonsense to insist that the great multitude that would come from Abraham, from Isaac and Jacob, could ever again exist in tiny Palestine. And of course, that is why God reminded Israel through Moses, even as they came into Canaan land out of Egypt, that God had kept vast areas of the earth in abeyance for Israel's future use. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bound of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.